grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the light of the world. Amen. I'm going to talk about the baptism of Christ today from our gospel lesson and our baptism. What a wonderful gift, a powerful gift. We pray, gracious Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. May it shine brightly on your church this holy day. Reveal great truth to us about the power of baptism. Assure us that we are your children, no matter what. You love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's see some identification. We've all heard those words before. A policeman pulls you over, and usually he or she says, "Let's see some identification." Or maybe you're in a store, and for some reason the store clerk says, "Can I see some identification?" Or perhaps you're at the bank doing a transaction, and the teller there may say, "Can I see some identification?" And what do we normally do when we're asked for identification? Well, we get our wallet out, if we're a man, or our purse out, and we get our driver's license out. We show our driver's license, a little card, a little picture with a long number on it and our name on it, hopefully. Or you might get out a credit card. Here's my name, the long credit card number. This is me. Or maybe the student ID or an ID we have from work, or maybe even our Social Security card with our number on it. Some kind of ID. The world out there identifies us with little cards, little pictures, and long numbers. In our reading today, we learn how God identifies us. And not with little cards and long numbers. But God identifies us in the wonderful waters of holy baptism. Our theme today as we celebrate the baptism of Christ is baptism is our heavenly identification. The world out there doesn't care a whole lot about your baptismal identity. But who cares? God has given us our baptismal identity. Heaven cares. Heaven rejoices. And in baptism, God says, "You're my sons and daughters. You're my very children." We're not just friends of God. We're not just servants of God. We're not just acquaintances of God. We are God's very children, kings and queens, heirs of eternal life, citizens of heaven, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to God himself. That's who we are. January 11, this cold morning, 2015. I don't care if we're sick. We got the flu, we're dying, we're depressed, we're down, we're cold, whatever. We are the very children of God this day, and that is our real identity. Today we think of the baptism of Jesus to begin, and there is much, much to teach on the baptism of Jesus. There's many teaching points. But in summary, to make it real simple, in Jesus' baptism, the Father publicly identifies him for us all in a very vivid, dramatic way to say who Jesus really is. Up to this point in Jesus' life, he's led a private life. Christ is baptized when he's 30. For the first 30 years of his life, it's been quite a private life for the most part. He's a carpenter's son. Grew up mainly in Nazareth, a small town in Galilee. And not a whole lot of people know who he is. A few people, Joseph and Mary, kind of know who he is. Simeon and Anna, the shepherds, the wise men. A few people kind of know who he is, but not many. He's led quite a private life. But now it starts. Today it starts. His public ministry. And it all begins with his baptism. We're in a very vivid, dramatic, loud way. God clearly shows us who Jesus is. He's not just a teacher. He's not just another prophet like they had many prophets of the Old Testament. He's not just a good man. He's not just a miracle worker that's here and there and they're going to be gone. But this is the Son of God. This is the second person of the Trinity in the flesh, the light of the world. This is the Good Shepherd, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one we've been expecting, God himself in the flesh. Three things happen when he's baptized. The heavens open. It recalls the Garden of Eden when God kicked Adam and Eve out after they sinned. Heaven is closed. No sinners allowed. But now heaven is open because Christ is there. Christ is the key to heaven. He's the door to heaven. He opens up heaven. We might recall the dream of Jacob had. Jacob had the dream of the ladder coming down from heaven, connecting heaven and earth. Christ is that ladder, is the lesson. He's the ladder. He's the key. He's the door. He's the way. Don't mistake it. The dove lands on him, the second miracle. The Holy Spirit. This recalls Noah's Ark, where the dove always came back to the ark for the most part. Christ is the new ark. He's the way of salvation. Believe in him now. Get in him now. He will deliver you from the coming judgment of hell. So believe in him. Trust him. He's the new ark. And then to make it crystal clear, so everybody will know it, God the Father himself speaks from the sky. It is a rare thing for God the Father himself to speak from the sky. But here he does it. And it's so simple, so clear. Young children, adults, we all can know who Jesus is. As he says clearly, this one right here now, this is Jesus. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is my son. You know who he is? The second person of the Trinity. My very son. Your savior. The light. The Messiah. The ladder. The ark. It's so simple and so clear. God the Father identifies Jesus. Sort of like you go to a basketball game, and before they play the game, what happens? They introduce the players. And they may even turn off the lights and put the spotlight on each player. At one guard is so-and-so. At center is so-and-so. So you know who the players are, what position they're going to play, and then you watch the game and you hope Tennessee wins or whoever wins. Well, here, before Jesus begins his ministry, it's going to be a 3-year ministry of public teaching, preaching, miracles that culminates in the cross and the resurrection. It's all very public. Before it happens, God the Father puts a spotlight on Jesus. He is my son. He's the only player on the team. He's the only one I need. He's a one-man team. And watch how he will conquer disease, sickness, death, and all of hell and take away your sins. Now you just watch. Well, we say, that's nice, Pastor. It all happened 2,000 plus years ago. Our Lord was baptized. Isn't that sweet and nice? What's it really had to do with me? Living in Knoxville, Tennessee. Well, we don't stop just with talking about Jesus' baptism. He's not baptized for himself. He's baptized for you and I. And we don't read the story and say, wow, what a great, great, miraculous event was the baptism of Jesus. All this great stuff happened. But then there's my baptism, and it's such a quaint little ceremony of a little bit of water poured on my head or my child's head, and the pastor mumbles some words about Father, Son, and Spirit. It's all, and gives a little cloth, a little candle he gets. And boy, I sure wish this happened when I was baptized. For my baptism is some simple little rite of the church that I really don't get. No, Jesus' baptism is our baptism. The same 3 miracles happen when we're baptized. Don't ever think, as I said in class, that Jesus' baptism was miraculous, but my baptism is not miraculous. How silly that is. God knows we will doubt baptism. And God knows that many in the world will see it just as some simple little initiation rite of the church. It doesn't mean a whole lot. Get a little certificate that you throw away or lose in your closet somewhere. And the candle and cloth get tossed aside. God knows we will doubt baptism. God knew there'd be churches that don't even teach the power of baptism, sadly. So God gives us a very powerful display of what happens when we're baptized. When we are baptized, the heavens are open. They haven't closed again. The heavens are open to us when we're baptized. For we are with Christ in baptism. Meaning our names are written in heaven. We're not locked out. We have the forgiveness of sins. And the Spirit comes down to us and lives in us and gives us faith and renews our faith today and helps us battle against sin and temptation and our flesh. We have the Holy Spirit. And the same words that the Father spoke 2,000 plus years ago resound in our ears. Those words continue. He didn't just say to Jesus, you're my son. Those words continue for us when we're baptized. He says, you're my son. You're my daughter. Same words. I'm well pleased with you. Because you're washed, you're clean, you're anointed with the Spirit. Of course I'm pleased with you. You're forgiven. And we sometimes don't even remember we're baptized. And we yawn when there's a baptism. But the spotlight of heaven is on. The church might sleep when there's a baptism. The church might even complain inwardly when there's a baptism. Oh no, church is going to be longer today. All of heaven rejoices as the world sleeps and grumbles about this. The angels rejoice for one sinner has been saved. And the Father is there, the Spirit is there, the Son's there. And you're God's child, redeemed and saved in God's hands forever. Your name written in heaven. Two things about this baptismal identity. First of all, note that our baptismal identity is given, not earned. This is a gift. It's not earned. Most all of our identities in life we earn, we might say. Pastor. Well, I could say self-righteously, I earned that. I went to school. I went to seminary. I even passed the classes. I passed vicarage. And so I kind of earned it because I went to school. You didn't go to school. You didn't take the classes I took. You didn't make the grades I made. You didn't go on vicarage. So I earned that. You're an engineer. You earned that. You went to school. You studied hard. Stayed up late. You took the exams. And you got your job. You were hired. You do your job. You earned that. You're an engineer. You're a doctor. You're a father. You're whatever it is. I earned my identity. That's who I am. Not with holy baptism. Baptism is a pure gift of God's grace. Not our doing, but the doing of God. The one identity I have, which I had nothing to do with at all, and really I had nothing to do with any of them because they're all a gift of God, but the one identity I have is my core identity of Paul Buscher. How did I get to be Paul Buscher? Did I earn it? If only my parents kind of wished I earned it sometimes. I was born into it. God made me in my mom's womb. God gave me birth. I don't remember it. God gave me that identity. I had nothing to do with it. And so baptism. I'm God's very child. I'm an heir of heaven because I'm reborn in the waters of holy baptism, water and spirit. God gives it to me. So it's mine. You know, I've said before, let me say it again. We often ask our children growing up, what are you going to do in your life? You know, what are you going to be? What are you going to do when you get older? And little kids say, I want to be a fireman. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a doctor. And that's an okay question to ask. We want our kids to be ambitious and do something in their lives. But here's a better question. Parents, every day ask your children this question. And then ask yourself this question. Not what are you going to do, but who are you? Little Johnny, do you know who you are? Who are you? And then look in the mirror at yourself. Who am I? And may we be able to say to our children and to ourselves, I am a child of God. Though all hell's against me. Though I'm sick. Though I got a bad report from the doctor. Though I made F's today. Though I lost my job today. I am a child of the living God. And so are you, little Johnny. Whether you make A's or F's, you're good or bad in school, you're a success by the world center or a failure, you have a great job or a lousy job, whether you're living or dying, sick or healthy, you are a child of God, son, daughter, and not all hell can stop that. That's who you are right now because of your baptism. And take comfort in that. Because life is hard. And many will challenge who you really are. No one can snatch you from the hand of your God. That's what we got to teach. Who are you? And then get on to what you want to do. The second thing to close today, this identity is given, not earned. And secondly, this identity is the greatest identity we can have, even though it'll be attacked. It'll be mocked. What happens to Jesus right after he's baptized? If you know the story, he goes out to the desert, and who is there waiting for him? The devil. And the devil attacks the identity of Jesus. He's right after the identity of Jesus. If you really are the Son of God, are you the Son of God? If you're really God's Son, turn the stones into bread and feed yourself. And by the way, if you're really God's Son, what are you doing in a desert starving? If you're really God's Son, jump down from the temple. The angels will protect you. If you're really God's Son, are you really God's Son? What are you doing here? It gets even worse when Christ is crucified. at the cross as he's bleeding and dying, what do the chief priests say? If you're really the Son of God, come down, we'll believe in you. If you're really the Son of God, save yourself. The attacks of Satan. Are you really God's Son, Jesus? Then why are you suffering? Why are you dying? Why is all hell against you? Why is the Father against you if you're really God's Son? And the devil whispers that in our ears. Are you really God's child? Then why are you so down today? Why are you sick? Why do you have a disease that won't go away? Why are you dying, friend? Why'd you lose your job? Why is life so troubled? Why are you getting a divorce? Why your kids rebel? If you're really God's child, why do you have no friends, kids? Why does no one like you in school if you're really God's child? Why aren't you healthy, wealthy, successful? Everything goes right in life if you're really God's child. And it's then and there. We got to hold on to baptism. Who am I? And perhaps make the sign of the cross made when you were baptized, on your heart and on your mind and on your heart. I am God's child. And not all hell can take it away from me. It's the highest identity we can have, but it'll be attacked. And you will doubt it. So keep coming back to your baptism. Keep hearing absolution. Keep receiving the body and blood of Christ to renew your identity. I'm God's child. Be gone, devil. I belong to God. I have everything. You know where I went Thursday? The cultured man that I am and the good husband I am, I went to Annie. Pastor Busher and Annie doesn't seem to be a good match, does it? My wife loves that musical, Annie. Have you heard of Annie around here? Orphan Annie, adopted by rich daddy Warbucks, is it? I watched the show a little bit. And at the end of that, it's really quite a baptismal story. We are little orphans, poor. And a rich father adopted us, purely out of love. We're not near as cute as little Annie. At the end of that show, though, Annie sings a song, and I won't sing it, I'll say a part of it. Together at last, together forever, we're tying a knot that no one can sever. I'll stop there. That's pretty good for baptism. Our Father, who's rich in mercy, has made us his own. Together at last with you, God. Together forever with you, God. You've tied a knot of your love around me that no one can sever. Let's see some ID. Next time you're pulled over like me, next time you're at the store, you're at the bank, and someone says, let's see some ID. Maybe just tell them, I'm a baptized child of God. What about you, friend? In Jesus' name, amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess.